Father, I ask for clarity of thought. I ask for wisdom. And I pray that I say what you want me to say. And help us all to be attentive. In your name, amen. Hey, for the past 2 weeks, my duties at work have changed a bit. I work at WEEC Radio in Springfield. Normally, I did the 8 to noon shift. Due to kind of a long story, I'm now co-hosting the morning show for the foreseeable future. I'm not complaining about that. It's something I've always had a desire to do, get up and be goofy. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And the only thing that hasn't really been all that exciting is how the early hours are taking some real adjustments to get used to for my whole family. I'm getting up around just a little bit before 4, which means that if I want to survive, I need to go to bed by 8 or take a nap in the middle of the afternoon, which is a little rough with kids running around. So you can pray for us in that transition. And if you want to get a hold of me during the week after 8, call Chris's cell phone to see if I'm awake. Or you might have the experience of one of the guys at work who called me at midnight a couple weeks ago to work because there's a computer issue, and he spent about 15 minutes waking me up, explaining it. Okay, what happened? Who are you? Anyway, but that long story I was talking about as to why I'm doing this. Last year, our longtime morning show host Joy Ware Miller informed the station that she was going to be moving to Texas to be with her husband, who'd moved down there a year earlier for a job. Joy was very popular with her listeners. She's been doing that show for over 10 years. And the station management started to look over their options, and they interviewed a lady who lives in Berlin, Ohio, who has an up-and-coming ministry to women and some on-air experience at a station in Cleveland. Now, they went into that assuming that she would have to relocate to Springfield to do the show. But as the talking went back and forth a while, she told them that she had no intention of moving, but could do the show from her house with a studio that she had there. She was already recording her show in Cleveland. So she'd record her talk breaks. We'd put the show together on our end, and that's pretty much what happened. We hired a show producer to piece the show together. The host, Lisa Troyer, would record her content, and then Caroline, the new producer, put together the show. And it started out okay. There were some concerns that we wouldn't be able to give the local feel with her not actually being in Springfield, but we thought we could pull that off with the news still being produced in-house and with feeding her local announcements on a regular basis so she could record them ahead of time. But things really didn't work out for several reasons. Lisa had a hard time relating to men on the air. And while women are probably the majority of our audience, the guys really dislike the new show from the ones I talked to and other people talked to. And it probably shouldn't have been a surprise since her ministry circle of friends is a women's ministry. She's very good at talking to women. And her voice and style were rather sedate. Those who wanted a pick-me-up in the morning were finding the show a little bit of a drag. Her previous radio experience was in the evenings in Cleveland, and it kind of showed. It worked really well in the evenings, wasn't really transferring to the mornings. And then, on top of all that, her other ministry, Circle of Friends, took off. She got a new recording contract in Nashville. She's also a singer. She got a book deal. She was going all over the country promoting those things. She is talking with Moody Broadcasting for syndicating a show with them. And so it got more and more difficult for her to find time to record content and send it to us. And we found ourselves filling in 2 or 3 times a week and usually be like at 9 at night, hey, can you do the morning show tomorrow? Sure. And show up and play music and not have any idea what you're going to say. So the show had no consistency and something had to be done. The new plan is for myself and the person hired to be the show producer to take over hosting the program as a temporary solution that could turn into a permanent solution if it works out. And when my boss told Lisa, the previous host, about it, she was, in his words, very relieved. Because she's one of those people, she doesn't like to tell people no, and she knew she wasn't able to do it, so she was very happy that she didn't have to do the show anymore. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this, the new show is vastly different from anything that WEEC has ever done before for one main reason. WEEC has always had one person do the show with a microphone. It's kind of an old style of doing it. Now there are two people talking back and forth, bantering, jokes, a little more lighthearted. So not only is it very different from Lisa, it is a total shift from what morning shows have been for the past 50 years at WEEC, and we do have listeners that go back that far, as in they heard us turn on in 1941. So I was expecting some feedback pretty quick from our listeners, and we got it in droves for these past 2 weeks, and I was shocked at how positive it was. People loved the new way we were doing things. They were calling in without even being asked to call in and telling us how much they loved the new show, they loved our voices. It's pretty heady stuff. We're like, wow, nice. We actually started to wonder, though, is it really because we're that good, or is it because the previous show was really that bad in the listener's estimation? Either way, all that praise really affected my co-hosts and I's spirits. With each call, we got more confident and more excited about the new show, but they weren't all positive. The majority were. We've had feedback from, I'd say, about 30 or so listeners, at least. And only three calls were of the negative variety. But it was interesting to see how those three little calls affected us. Two of them were directed at Caroline. One said they couldn't stand her voice and please get her off the air. The other asked, why does she laugh all the time? Maybe she should stop fooling around and focus on her work. I didn't take the third call, but the program director did, and it was a lady calling in after a show that we did that was particularly high on funny topics and laughter, and the program director said it sounded like a ransom note. She read it like a prepared statement. I represent a concerned group of senior citizens who are very upset about the new program, and on and on. He didn't tell me all what she said, but the gist was they didn't like all the goofing around. And I was surprised by how much it hurt. We had had people loving on us 2 whole weeks, and those couple comments, when they came in, totally just crumpled us. I'm glad we didn't take any of those when we were on the air. People might have noticed a dramatic drop in laughter and joviality. And I'm assuming, actually, that this person had fabricated her group of concerned citizens because her call came in, like, minutes after our show ended. And unless this group gets together every morning to listen to the morning show and evaluate it, I kind of doubt that they actually exist, and I think she's probably just made that up to give her complaint some extra weight. But encouragement, how important is it in our lives? It made me think about times where I've been less than encouraging and how that must have felt to the person I was talking to. I wanted to take a look at biblical encouragement this morning and encourage us to be better encouragers. One thing I found out pretty quickly is that biblical encouragement does not necessarily mean praise. Biblical encouragement can be divided up into four parts generally, and praise is only one of them. The others are affirmation, consolation, and exhortation. Big words, we'll explain. The word itself, when it is used in the New Testament, is the Greek word parakaleo, and I don't know Greek, but I can tell you what the commentaries tell you what it means, and it means to call alongside. It assumes that the person being encouraged is under pressure, and it means to strengthen that person by giving appropriate aid. I usually think of encouragement totally, as I said, in the praise sense. The idea that someone says, I like what you're doing, and you're awesome at that. I could listen to that pretty much all day, so you guys can just keep noticing. I really could listen to that all day, if it's genuine. I hate to question why someone would praise me, but I think we've all known people that tend to flatter so as to get you on their good side rather than to build you up. But true praise feels really, really good. Paul does this in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 8, and I'll just read 2 and 3. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he continues to go on in that in those verses to praise them by remembering their accomplishments. It feels good when someone sees something that you're doing well and tells you about it, or better yet, says it out loud in front of other people. But like I said, praise is only one part of encouragement, and I think the easiest part. Affirmation is similar, though a little different, to praise. Praise sees what you're doing and tells you good job. Affirmation sees what you could do and calls you to it. It's going to a young, untested Christian saying, I see great potential in you. I think you should speak out more often. Or, you sing well. Why don't you see if you can sing on the worship team? An example from Scripture would be the way that Jesus called his disciples. He could see the potentials in each of them, though they couldn't. He told the fishermen, you'll be fishers of men. You'll reach out to people. He told an unschooled fisherman named Simon that he'd be called Rock, or Peter, because he knew how strong Peter could and would be. And it had to give Peter all the confidence in the world. This is a great gift that older Christians can give to younger ones. And I've seen it work at work with my new co-host. This new position she has been given is a real large responsibility. She's like 24, and she's only been a Christian for a year and a half. She expressed some real worry about that to the boss. She's afraid. She says, I'm going to say something stupid. And that she didn't think she could do this. And he basically said, if he didn't think she could do it, then she wouldn't be doing it. The challenge is not to be so wrapped up in ourselves that we can't see and speak into the lives around us. And we need to be looking, because there are always those that need encouragement. The third branch of encouragement is consolation. And it refers to helping those who have grown tired in their faith or their spiritual walk has taken a hit. Their faith has been shaken by something. Could be a death in the family. It could be a loss of a job. Could be a lot of things. But consolation is for bolstering them back up and calling them to renewal. And this is what Paul is telling us to do in 1 Thessalonians 5, specifically in 14. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Encourage the timid, help the weak. Those who are doubting or grieving. We all have those times when our faith isn't as real to us as it used to be. And how helpful is it when someone speaks into our lives at that point? The final branch of encouragement is the hardest to do and receive. To praise someone's accomplishments, it's pretty simple. We can all do that. To affirm that they are worthy and have potential, while a little harder, is still something I think we can all pull off. Consolation is something I think we all kind of do automatically if we notice that someone needs a lift in their spirits. But exhortation, to me, is extremely difficult both to give and to receive. Yet it might also be the most valuable. Exhortation is basically telling someone who is slacking or lagging behind to get with it, do better, and eventually excel. When is the last time someone came up to you and said, you know, you really could do a lot better? You're not living up to expectations for whatever reason. I know you have what you know, you have it in you, so do it. And if that has ever happened to you, how'd you take it? Generally, it's more like, how dare you? How dare you call my motivation into question? I remember a time. It was probably 9 or 10 years ago now. I was working at the Armor Youth Center, trying to get the radio station there up and running. And I was kind of my own boss. I set my own time schedule and so forth. And one day I was at my computer there at work, and I wasn't working. I was playing a goofy little computer game. If you know me, you know I really haven't got into video games, mostly because I'm too cheap to own a gaming system. And I know that something like that could really consume my time. No, I play dumpy little cheaply made PC games that you can find for free on the internet. And that's what I was doing. I think it was a duck hunting game or something with my mouse. And all of a sudden, I felt two hands lay on my shoulders. And it was Roger, who at the time was the director of the armory. And all he did was pray for me, that God would bless my efforts towards the new station and that I'd be able to use my time wisely. And then he walked away. I was embarrassed. I was shamed. I was mad. And I also worked pretty hard the rest of the day. That's exhortation. It's really hard to do it in a way that shows love, doesn't attack personally, and even then, depending on how it's taken by the recipient, can still wound them deeply. And maybe it should. Paul does it in a couple of places, and he does it really well. In 2 Timothy, he exhorts Timothy to continue in his work in Ephesus, even though he was intimidated by the many problems he was running into. I'm in chapter 4, 2 Timothy. Verses 4 and 5, Paul tells Timothy, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Paul also exhorts some believers in Hebrews who are wilting under God's discipline or hardship. Hebrews 12, 11 through 13. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Once again, this is the hardest level of encouragement, and it takes a lot of God's wisdom, which means prayer on our part. Another thing that helps in exhortation is Paul had invested in these people, both Timothy and the believers he is addressing in Hebrews, and therefore he had the right and ability to exhort them without offending them. They knew that he loved them. So for review, praise is noticing someone for something they have done well and telling them about it, preferably in front of others. Affirmation is noticing the potential in someone else and prompting them to rise to it. Consolation is lifting up the fallen, helping the believer who has taken a spiritual hit. Exhortation is telling the believer who is lagging to get with the program and get back on board. So how can we be encouragers? I think number one, we have to go into it asking God for a real and true love for people. Not fake, but a real love for the people around us. Otherwise, you'll catch yourself being an encourager for what you will get out of it rather than what they will. Sort of, I'll make them feel good so that they'll make me feel good. And if you love them, you will more easily be able to see their successes and their failures and know how to encourage them. Number two, be constantly in prayer as to the right moment and the right words. I don't think I'm very good at encouragement. I'm often too wrapped up in myself to notice. So I need help in this. I'd much rather hear it than give it. I think a lot of us are probably in that boat. Three, be a good listener. You'll notice all the different styles of encouragement require us to notice something in others. Therefore, we need to be paying attention to them and what they're doing and saying. And finally, it's kind of cliche, but just do it. It's easy to praise somebody. So we could start there, praising people, and then we can work our way up to exhortation. I'm going to challenge you to think of three people. Think of three people this week and praise them. Notice something they're doing right and tell them about it. And I'd like to end with 1 Thessalonians 5, 10 through 11. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Father, I ask that you'd help me to pay attention and to listen to those I come into contact with. Without encouragement, I think we all just feel alone. And it's good when we build each other up. I pray that you'll bring those people to our minds this week. Give us the words to say in the moment. And let's really, really work on this discipline of encouragement so that we can impact the lives around us and grow as a body. Thank you for this time that we could spend together this morning. Amen.